Glory to Jesus Christ. Throughout our whole life, at least once, we will be asked a question. Are you saved? And this question can come through someone we meet, or it can come through us through social media. It is a nice question, but also it is a very dangerous question. It is a dangerous question because if someone asks us, are you saved? We immediately respond, yes. And that person will assume, well, all right, then if you are saved, you're also baptized, and you also believe in Jesus Christ, which all are true. But this question also does something to us that can transform all of our thinking without even our knowledge. Are you saved? Yes, all right. My work as Christian is done. I'm saved. All clear. Well, maybe I need to be a good person, but now I can relax, have an easy life. Paradise is awaiting me, and until then, I'll try not to mess up too much. It is a very dangerous question. This question infiltrated our church as general, and we can see the result of that question. We have become satisfied where we are. We have become a little bit stationary where we are. All is good. We are relaxing. And there is no thirst for any kind of spiritual growth. There is no spiritual thirst. Priests nowadays experience very little confessions. And if there are no confessions or very little confessions, the church is considered as an unhealthy church. Attendance for any kind of feast days is pushed to bare minimum, and even Sundays are now considered not so important. See how one worldly question can ruin generations? And I heard perfect answer to this question just the other day. And the answer was something like this. Let's look at this question through our Christian lens. How we understand and should understand the question, are you saved? Yes, I was saved by Jesus Christ. I am currently being saved, and I will be saved. Here's where it is different, though. Both being saved now and I will be saved is fully in our hands. This means that we cannot be satisfied and do nothing. This means that we must work at our salvation day and night. It is a constant battle that we must wage against the devil. You heard the prayers of the baptism. I'm not making it up. The very nature of demons is to fall. Forgive me, I skip a paragraph. We sin. Everyone sins. Some think that they don't sin, but everybody sins. It's not a surprise. But what is more important is to get up from our sins and make a solid resolution that we will never fall into that sin ever again. That's the first sign of the rebirth. Thomas was baptized. And if our spiritual lenses were clean, you would see that a human being was dunked in the water in one form, but on the third time he became a saint, heavenly being. Through his sins he will fall. and he will have to get up. The very nature of demons is to fall and never get up. The nature of angels is to never fall. But our nature is both. We fall through sin, but we also must get up again and again when we fall. St. Theophan the Recluse says that Christian life is not a natural life. It does not come through baptism. It doesn't come through some kind of consistency. It will never be natural. It is life that we choose. It is life that we cannot neglect. And it is up to us whether we want to get up and to have a zeal for Christ in our life or not. Look, if we believe that we are saved and that's it, then what's the point of today's Divine Liturgy? What's the point of us being here? What's the point of me, your priest, reading the Gospel to you if we believe that there is no work to be done? We read the Gospel to learn Christ's commandments and how we can improve our life through these commandments. We use the Gospel book as a mirror towards our life. There must be progression within our life. We have to choose to follow Christ daily. Even in today's Gospel, we hear that multitudes followed Him. And St. Theophylact reflects on today's Gospel and he says, the multitude showed their faith by running to Jesus even as He was departing. For which they receive healing as the reward of faith. Their following on foot and without any provisions are also sign of faith. Does this sound like some kind of a stationary faith? Stationary belief? No. It is an act of constant struggle to gain a life with Christ. Today, we have another example of why our faith is not stationary, but moves and revolves around God. At the beginning, most of you were not here yet. We were in the back of the church and we were doing the exorcism for Thomas Joseph. And the parents were stationary. Then, after the exorcism, the parents came up with godparents to the fountain. There was a little bit of movement, but yet during baptism, they were still stationary, without movement. But then at the end, what happened? The baptism ended up with a movement where godparents and parents with Thomas went around the font 3 times. Those were, if Thomas could walk, those would be the very first steps of the newly baptized child. Steps that parents and godparents promised to him to keep for the rest of his life, to keep the constant movement around God. I don't want to jump the gun, but when he's about to get married, in our church, there is a Gospel book on the tetrapod. There is no dunking, thank God. Or sadly, I don't know. There is a Gospel book, and there is the same movement. The husband and wife, they stand in front of the Gospel book, and at the end, they revolve around the Gospel 3 times, showing their movement as a unity of husband and wife. They will walk around the Gospel and keep Christ in the center. So it is not just a baptism. It's also marriage. And there are other times in the other places too. But these are the first steps that you will have to remind your child of every single day. not until he's 7 or 18, but for the rest of his life. These steps, this circular motion that revolves around God, can be very easily lost in today's generation. And it's up to you to keep his steps as close to God as possible, revolving around God. You parents and godparents and grandparents will be his primary example of living faith. For sure, the church and the priest that you will meet will be ready to help you all the time, but 99% of the faith will come from you. He will see you praying at your home. He will see you how you act around others. When he is older, he will be able to compare whether you live according to the gospel or not. He will see whether your faith is stationary or if your faith revolves around God. To be a parent in today's world is nothing but difficult. But through these difficulties of choosing God rather than the world will bring you many beautiful blessings that will strengthen not just you, your child, but everybody around you. So let's look at today's gospel, and as we are looking into the mirror, as we are willing to give up everything in order to follow Christ. I'm sure we are. I'm sure we do not want to be considered a stationary faithful, but rather those who really choose Christ every day. We must have strong faith to receive God's help when we ask for it. Glory to Jesus Christ.